We tend to think of the US as the bastion of private enterprise, but many successful businesses owe their success to government contracts. That's why the participation of Elon Musk in the presidential race kind of raised a red flag. But maybe we should be more concerned about his erstwhile business partner, Peter Thiel, who has also financed Republican candidates and who founded a company called Palantir with Alexander Karp. I asked Professor Noel Castry, Professor of Society and Environment at the University of Technology, Sydney, to explain what Palantir does.
So Palantir, it's an American tech company. It was founded in 2003, and the two most prominent senior executives are Peter Thiel, who you mentioned, and a less well-known individual called Alex Karp. The name's quite interesting, actually. The name Palantir, it refers to J.R. Tolkien's fiction and his idea of a seeing stone that can detect invisible things or find needles in haystacks. So it's a really good description of what Palantir does. So Palantir has very advanced software and hardware that allow it to mine vast amounts of data about people, join various dots and see patterns and also see exceptions. So where people are behaving differently or unusually. And you're right, Palantir, particularly in the last 2 years, has benefited enormously from federal government contracts in the US, but also outside the US. For example, it has a pretty big contract with the National Health Service in the UK. And clearly, the services it offers do give intelligence agencies, the military and others quite a lot of power. But certainly, Palantir are helping to further particular intelligence, military and policing agendas in the US at the moment. Yeah.
And there's a new book out, which is the basis of your article and research in The Conversation, that's been penned by Karp and Nicholas Samistra. Coming out of this book, it's a bit hard to understand Alexander Karp and Palantir's closeness with the Trump administration when they want to imbue Silicon Valley with a moral compass.
Yeah, that's right. So this is quite interesting. So Alexander Karp, as you said, with another Palantir senior employee called Nicholas Samistra, have just published a book called The Technological Republic. It's a sort of manifesto. It's a call to arms to other leaders of big tech companies in the United States to find a sense of national purpose, to defend what's good about America, and to protect it from its enemies, such as Russia or China. And it's interesting because Karp is rather different to Peter Thiel, his business partner. So Peter Thiel is what sometimes call an extreme libertarian. So he's a huge defender of personal freedom and people's right to live the way they want to live and do things they want to do. And obviously, he's a very wealthy man. That benefits Peter Thiel quite significantly if a society like that were to be created. Now, Alexander Karp's rather different. He was born in New York. He was raised in Philadelphia. He doesn't have a technological or a sort of computer science, mathematics background. He actually did advanced degrees in law and in sociology. And his parents were quite politically active, social justice activists. So he's got a strong social conscience, I think, Alexander Karp. And I think the gist of the argument is that big tech companies need to commit to a sense of what's good about America and adapt their business models to suit that purpose. So given that, you are right, it is a little bit odd that Karp is the chief executive officer of essentially a company that deals in surveillance.
Would the dangers of a Palantir with all the information that it controls, would that equate somewhat to concerns we've had in Australia over Huawei?
Yeah, some of the concerns that are being expressed in the West about surveillance are to do with overseas surveillance. And what you're asking me is, you know, in a sense, is Palantir enabling domestic surveillance openly and transparently? And I think that is a risk. So Palantir has been quite controversial in the news in the last few months because it does work with ICE in the United States, which, of course, is at the heart of deporting illegal immigrants, but also seems to have captured and detained perfectly legal immigrants. So Palantir is linked with that. So, yes, you are right. I mean, clearly there is a concern around things like privacy, data privacy, when you have these big companies synthesizing mind-boggling amounts of data about us and our daily activities, and that's where government comes in.
So one of the ideas that's come out of this book from Karp and Zamistra is that they want to have an idea of an inclusive nationalism. Would that include, on the political spectrum, people from Bernie Sanders to J.D. Vance, for example, do you think?
Yes, it's ambiguous. I think one of the odd things about the book is there is a call for tech billionaires to commit to a sense of national purpose, but the authors don't actually indicate what that would look like politically. So it's a really open question what kind of American nation they want to see come into existence in the next, say, 10 to 25 years. I'm just quoting from the back end of the book where they talk about the need to resurrect a shared culture, not abandon it, end of quote. And, you know, they advocate for what they call founder type individuals such as Steve Jobs, and in fact, Peter Thiel himself, I suppose, who are willing to be brave and say unpopular things.
Do you think that the authors of Hillbilly Elegy and The Art of the Deal will be reading this book?
That's a great question. Probably not. Probably not.
Professor Noel Castry, Professor of Society and Environment at the University of Technology, Sydney, speaking with me there.